Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Andy Mackey. Andy is the web guru for the Diocese of Columbus. I don't think that's his official title, but it will be now, I guess.
Yes.
Andy, welcome.
Welcome. Thanks.
Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for all of your blessings and for the blessings that we will receive this day. Fill our hearts with this continual gratitude and wonder and awe at your great works in our lives. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Andy, as we begin our conversation, it's always good to kind of hear your story, how you encountered Christ and his church. And you're a fairly recent convert.
Yes, I still have that new Catholic smell.
Oh, good, good. So. He hasn't been washed too many times. So maybe you could share your story with us.
Certainly. So I came into the church with my wife in the RCIA class of 2019. So it would have been the Easter Vigil that year. And but the story of how I came to Catholicism actually goes back to when I was a kid. And I thought it was very funny to always share this with folks because I grew up in metropolitan Detroit. And my parents, who were nuns, they had no religious affiliation, no background, they could see that I really had potential as a student. And growing up where I did, they made the decision to send me to a Catholic school, which is something that only one of my friends was also in Catholic schools at that time. So they sent me to a Catholic school in the Archdiocese of Detroit when I was in middle school. And when I got there, I was the exact opposite, I think, of what most middle school-aged kids probably would have been like. I loved the order. I loved the everything about it. I looked forward to putting on my uniform. It really had such an impact on me. And at that age, you know, you can have a lot of different loves in your life. I loved baseball and hockey, but the history and the tradition of the Catholic Church wasn't missed on me. And I really, really wanted to become a Catholic at that time. And my director of religious education there was St. Mary, or she should be a saint now, but it's Sister Mary Martin. And she, one day we were talking about, I was doing a program, and she asked me, Are you Catholic? Because I came across as somebody who understood it. And I was like, well, no, my parents, I'm not a Catholic. And I remember Sister Mary Martin goes, do you want to be? So we began that conversation. My parents thought that I was wanting to be, it was well-meaning, but they thought that I was wanting to become Catholic because my friends were Catholic. I should also say that they thought I wanted glasses because my friends had glasses. Spoiler alert, I'm 37 years old and I've been wearing glasses since the eighth grade. So. But that was sort of the journey to that and finding out more of that. And, I kind of put that aside because I wanted to be a good kid. And once I got older in my life, it kind of came to me that, you know, what do I really want? You know, I have a wife, I have a house, I have a good job. But what is it that I really want in my life? And the Catholic faith kept coming up. And even though my life had gone in a completely different direction, I still sort of felt that pull. So I started having conversations with my wife about it, and I reached out to the adult faith formation director at St. Mary, Delaware, and the rest has been the best couple of years of my life since that moment.
It's interesting. So your parents were both nons. Did they were they raised in any religious background or?
No, they weren't. My dad's family would occasionally do the Christmas, Easter, but my mom, absolutely no. And it wasn't so much a militant dislike. It was just an indifference. And I think one of the best parts about this is that my family has become more curious since I came in. You know, when I mentioned this to them when I was older, it was very much a meaning of, oh, that's really interesting. You know, it wasn't like a what are you doing kind of a thing. And I think that there was a lot of different pathways it took. So I still get a lot of questions from my family. I know that some of my more extended families, when I was doing our live stream mass, would watch me every day, even though they weren't practicing any faith. So it's been a bit of a godsend and blessing in that way to be able to sort of have that soft evangelization to people without necessarily having to force the issue. They see what it's doing in my life, and I think that they're happy for me, and I think they wonder those questions too. But we'll cross those bridges when we get there.
It's interesting that, you know, it's an interesting reminder that the phenomenon of nones, or, you know, basically those of no religious faith, it's not a new experience in American culture even.
Yep.
It's not as if we can just point to millennials or Gen Zers as being nones. But, you know, there's a long tradition. And until really the late 90s, the most unchurched state in America was actually West Virginia.
Wow.
Which, you know, people think of the, you know, Bible Belt and things like that. But,
yeah.
You know, even in our own, you know, highly kind of religious American culture from the 50s, there were pockets that just were unchurched.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you sort of see those threads of relationship and how important that can be. You know, my family didn't have religious friends of any denomination. So I think it just became more of a part of, you know, who they were and what they talked about and what they did. And I do feel quite thrilled that I now am part of that thread for them. So it's quite funny to be like, oh, yeah, my son's Catholic. He just joined the Catholic faith. So you can tell there's a bit of pride in that in a funny way. So I'm always optimistic, but I always tell them every time we end up on the topic of it, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, it's wherever you want to take this. That's how my journey went. So, but no, it was a truly wonderful experience. And my wife's family is also the same way. So we both went from nothing, from nuns to Catholics in the course of 1 year. And I had actually decided that I was going to do it with the blessing of my wife. We'd had a lot of conversations and she wasn't sure yet. And then about 4 weeks into RCIA, because every time I would come back from Mass, it would be like my personal breaking open the word in the car or in the house. Like, okay, what did you talk about? What does this mean? What did you do? Basically checking to make sure that this was the same person she'd been married to for a couple of years. And then about week four, she's like, I think I want to come in with you. So I was like, all right, it'll be nice. And it was the perfect timing. And so we went through the rest of our RCIA process together. And it was a real treat to be able to come into the church at the same time as my wife. Like full, you know, we always joke about, I was baptized before her. She received confirmation before me. And so it was one of those where, you know, it was a bit of a sweep for us in the house to kind of talk about. It was funny.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me is Andy Mackey. He works as the diocese web manager, the website manager, recent employee of the diocese just in the last couple months. You know, it's an interesting thing in your story, too, is the power of Catholic education and Catholic schools.
Oh, yes.
I've had, you know, lots of conversations with those in Catholic education. And, you know, it's almost like your story is really kind of the ideal of what we really want from Catholic schools is non-Catholics come in, and, you know, there are so many now non-Catholics in Catholic schools. They come in, they encounter the church and Christ in the school, and maybe then and there, you know, in their high school days or later in life, those seeds that were planted in Catholic education take root.
Yeah, and it makes total sense, and it's one of the funnier parts about it, because when you start to have a better understanding of how God works and how these things sort of move throughout your life. And even though, you know, God loves you no matter where you are in your life. And so for me, it was quite interesting to look back at it now that I was fully into the church to be like, well, no, there's a reason my parents were moved to put me into a Catholic school. And it wasn't just because my best friend down the street went there. You know, that may have been part of it, but it was that relationship. And there was a reason that once I was, you know, planted in that seed, you know, when it was put there, that I took root. It was one of those things that stuck with me forever. Like, I absolutely loved everything about the faith. And it was so funny because there would be so many opportunities when my friends and I would be going through, you know, my lifelong Catholic friends, and they would just be like, oh, I've got to do this thing. And I would actively try to go to Mass with them. So, you know, their mom had to bring me sometimes when it would make sense. And it would be like, oh, yeah, you guys can play touch football in the backyard, but Jared has to go to Mass first. So we would do that, and I would be happy to go to Mass with them every couple of times that I could. So,
did you ever get the impression of being a second-class citizen as a non-Catholic in a Catholic school?
No, I felt, if anything, Father Adam, that I was more of the just like, oh, look at him. You know, like, look at this young man. He is so into this. I never got that. And actually, we had a situation where another non-Catholic school, but another school had closed. And we had a couple of other Christian denomination students start coming to our school in my eighth grade year. And I mean, we just blended together very well. It was a very good, I think a lot of it has to do to the quality of the teachers that are brought in and, you know, the principals and all the way down. They set a real good tone for acceptance. And I think that acceptance is also what played into my happy, warm feelings about the faith at that age. You know, there's a lot of things that a junior high aged kid can be kind of jaded about, but I looked forward to it. It was a good experience. But yeah, those teachers were great.
Did you go into Catholic high school or into public high school?
I wanted to go into Catholic high school, but I wasn't able to because my family couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. We were from a lower class area. And it was at the time we didn't know about the resources that exist like they do now. You know, it's a lot easier to log on. I say this as the web designer, but it's a lot easier to log onto a web page now and find those things than it was back in, you know, 1994. So I wanted to. There was a lot of great Catholic high schools that I wanted to be a part of, but I ended up going to the public high school. But those lessons, though, I felt like I was more prepared. There was a lot of times where they would give me these, you know, these tests that they would standardize you for, and I would test over where my fellow peers were at who went to the public school for 2 years. So I didn't have a lot of classes with my old friends.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Andy Mackey. Let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for this time together and for your guidance of Andy and his wife in their life and in their encounter with Christ, your Son, and his church. We ask that you continue to bless him and bless us through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.